Golf Smarter number 160 for January 6, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The anxious golfer's experience with mindful meditation.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast. Today's topic is what you may consider way out of normal golf conversation. But let me ask you, if you've ever identified your own anxiety while on the golf course, let me paint some interesting scenarios for you and see if they ring true. How about this? A 3-foot putt for par, hitting out of the woods, or through a divot, or on a greenside bunker. First up on the tee without warming up. Now, compare those to how you felt while hitting a 10-foot putt for birdie after 2 consecutive pars, or hitting after your partner just hit in the water and you have a clear view of the green. It's amazing how a calm, confident state and being relaxed over the ball will garner much better results. And today's episode investigates calmness while you're on the course to see if it makes a difference. Ben Klein has already done this for us. Ben is a sports psychology consultant who did his master thesis by creating a study that examined the impact of meditation on golfers to understand whether they reported changes in their feelings of anxiety. The practice included a combination of traditional mindfulness meditation and mindful golf practice. Ben and I met outdoors near a driving range, so you're going to get a little different sound quality from what you're hearing right now. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Ben.
Hello, Fred.
Thanks for joining us here. I'm really curious to talk to you. We met out on the golf course, and I shot one of my better rounds with you, so I needed to figure out, was it you or was it me that day? But you see golf as being more than just being in the moment. Golf psychology, more than just being in the moment. There's a bigger picture in golf as a metaphor to life.
I think so.
Tell me how you approach that and where you come from.
Well, first of all, I'm flattered that you played so well with me, and I look forward to the opportunity of playing with you again.
Absolutely.
I see golf as absolutely a metaphor for life. The things that come up for people in life in general, whether it's, you know, anger or frustration or anxiety or joy. Let's not forget the positive emotions.
Rare as they are.
maybe all too rare.
Well, you can't, you know, that's the problem with golf is like you can't really express joy as much because you're afraid of getting it out of hand or like getting too excited about it and then it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think in terms of performance on the golf course, being too excited about the outcome can be just as bad for your game as getting too upset about a bad shot.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all heard about the post-birdie mess-up, and I've observed it, you know, in myself as well as anybody I've ever played with. So, I think those highs and lows in terms of emotionally on the golf course can not necessarily support the best performance, but they do come out. You know, people's emotional life, which shows up in golf, show up, you know, also outside of golf. Whether it's personal life or work life, and just their overall personalities.
So you recently completed a thesis that you did. Now you're a sports psychology consultant.
That's correct.
I really found it interesting reading part of your thesis, although it was quite academic for me. I couldn't get through it without reading it multiple times. I apologize for that, but that's, you know, that's what happens when you go to a state school.
I was trained to write that way. I'm actually not all that academic myself.
Well, you had to condense it into a paragraph. But you were using meditation in your thesis.
Yes.
On golfers, both meditation in their golf practice, correct me if I'm wrong, and then meditation, why don't you set it up for me, explain what happened.
Yeah, so I recently completed a master's in sports psychology from John F. Kennedy University over in the East Bay in California. And in order to graduate, I had to write a thesis. And I've always been interested in meditation for myself as a way of trying to be more focused and calmer. And obviously I'm a golf addict, as you are as well, I assume. And so I try to kind of put them all together, and I got interested in the effects of mindfulness meditation. And there are different kinds of meditation. I can go into that, or I don't have to. But
no, I'm curious because I had no idea what that meant.
Yeah,
but we'll get there in a minute.
But I was interested in if someone who reported that when they play golf they feel anxious, and whether it's a situation like a 3-foot putt that counts for something or just overall, and that anxiety interfered with their performance and or their enjoyment of the game. I wanted to see that if they meditated for 4 weeks, whether or not after that period of time in playing golf, they experienced some differences. So I was looking, and this is where it gets kind of technical, from a qualitative perspective, the quality of their game. I wasn't, saying on a scale of 1 to 5, did your anxiety go down from a 5 to a 4? I was just really interested in their experience of playing golf after having meditated for 4 weeks. And so I had to find participants, and it actually was a lot easier to find people to be in the study than I thought it would be. I sent out an email. I'm a member of an organization called the Shivas Irons Society.
Yeah, we've had Steve Cohen on the show.
And so I know Steve. I was first introduced to Steve, actually, when I went down to Big Sur to the Esalen Institute and took a workshop called Golf in the Kingdom. And Steve was a co-teacher.
And that being the name of Michael Murphy's book,
right.
Which was the...
Right, and it was appropriate that workshop be taught there because Michael Murphy is a co-founder of Esalen.
Right, right. And Golf in the Kingdom being Michael Murphy's book and Shivas Iron being the protagonist in the book.
Exactly.
It all tied together.
Yes,
and
yes.
And this is also a reminder to any golfer who's never read Golf in the Kingdom. I guess the question would be, how come?
Right.
How can you truly say that you're a golfer if you've not read this book?
Yeah. It's a great, and it's kind of a, the definitive, spiritual book about golf.
And so many have followed afterwards. And
yeah.
And there may never be a movie, but there's so many people who've tried to. But
yeah.
It's a whole other topic.
Absolutely.
But
at any rate,
so
I sent an email out to the membership of, the local membership of the Shivas Iron Society here in California. And stating that I was looking for anxious golfers who would be willing to try meditating. And I got an incredible response because of my methodology, which is really rich in data, I didn't want a whole bunch of participants. I only wanted a handful.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 20 responses like right off the bat.
Wow.
And so it got me excited, it let me know that I'm not the only golfer out there who's affected by their own mind. And I knew that. And golfers are animals such that, once they're bitten by the bug, they'll do almost anything to try and play better.
Of course.
And so I kind of picked the first 5 respondents that responded by, how fast they responded and signed them up for doing the study. So what I had them do.
And before you get there, and I apologize for interrupting, but I want to identify what you mean by anxiety in golfers. I know you talked about, the short putt, but is there something that people recognize in themselves as being, I'm an anxious golfer?
Yeah, or I'm an anxious person. And
it definitely flows over.
It definitely flows over, and it's situational. And, first let me say that anxiety isn't always bad. I mean, everyone has their kind of zone of optimal performance.
Okay.
And some people actually perform better when they feel stressed. They look at that anxiety as facilitative. They say to themselves, okay, I got the juice going. Now it's time for me to really focus, and they perform better. But I think for the majority of us, anxiety gets in the way. It causes our muscles to tense up, and even shorten. And if that happens during a swing, who knows where the ball's going to go?
Who knows where the ball's going to go whenever you hit it? I mean, come on.
But I think if you're you're in the moment and relaxed and have a swing that's a swing rather than a hit, you're p- potential for the outcome that you're looking for is improved. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but anxiety or tension, I think, is a killer in a golf swing. And one of the offshoots of anxiety is physical tension. I mean, the somatic component of anxiety is the anxiety you feel in your body. And then there's a mental or cognitive component of anxiety as well. And they're tied together.
And we're going to get back, I promise.
Yeah, that's okay.
How can the average golfer identify that tension, that anxiety in their swing, in their body when they're about to swing, and pull back from that? What kind of things should we be looking for?
Well, I think the person who's feeling that anxiety can kind of self-identify it. And, I mean, it just in terms of how anxiety shows up, I mentioned tightness of muscles. Mm-hmm. So feeling like you're swinging slower might be an example of that rather than flowing. In terms of being more in your head than you want to be, being filled with thoughts or fear or dread, standing over a first tee, that's a typical place. Or people who aren't comfortable in bunkers, so situation-specific things like a first tee or a bunker or a putt that means something would be places where, someone could look to say, am I getting in my way there because I'm starting to sweat or I'm feeling tense or my breath is short or I can feel my heart pounding in my chest. I mean, those are, kind of classical symptoms of anxiety.
Okay. All right, let's get back to the meditation now. Hmm. And how are you using mindful meditation?
Yeah, so meditation is,
you went to Shiva Siren Society and you got this group of people who volunteered to do your studies.
Right.
Let's
so
go from there.
Okay. So the study had them do a couple different types of meditation. And one of them is called mindfulness meditation, which is really in sports psychology literature per se, doesn't necessarily have a whole bunch of recent study. But in science, scientists are looking more at meditation. There have been studies that people who meditate have better immunological response. So there's better resistance to disease for people who meditate. And yeah, I think it's fascinating. And I'm sure everyone who's listening does too.
Like, he's responding to my face. I'm like, what?
But, there's been a lot of research in the past 20 years, I guess, on kind of a mind-body connection. And meditation is something that's been around for 2,000 years as a technology or a tool. Buddhist practice is centered on meditation, whether it's a mantra that you get from your guru or... which is where you focus just on a sound, or mindfulness meditation, which is where you are focused maybe on an object like your breath, but you notice when thoughts come. And you notice them, but you don't judge yourself, and you just say, my mind went away. Or you just label it thought, and you try and go back to focusing on your breath. Mm. And so sitting for 20 minutes once a day was part of the exercise that I had my participants do. I had them sit and do mindfulness meditation for 20 minutes a day for 4 weeks. But there was a second part. And the second part was I had them do a golf meditation. And what I mean by that, and this also ties into kind of Shiva Sirens, and because one of the teachers there, Bill Kondaxis, who's a golf professional, who's part of the Fred Shoemaker's Extraordinary Golf School, he was the other teacher with Steve Cohen. And so we did exercises at the Golf in the Kingdom workshop where we would focus on, like a dimple on the ball while putting, and then notice the after effect of staring at the ball.
The circle.
Which is actually an optical effect. But what it does is it forces your attention to that object, just like in a seated meditation, focusing your attention on the breath. So I adapted some of the things that I got from there at the workshop to my study, where I had where that was an option for 20 minutes a day. In addition to seated meditation, do some golf exercises where you are intentionally present to something, whether it's the image of the golf ball or the golf ball itself or the feel of the club head, or just being really aware of the target. And if you notice that a thought gets in the way, consciously bring yourself back. Don't judge it. If you find yourself judging a shot that you hit, you know, just kind of say thank you to yourself, but don't let that judgment take hold. Get back to that focus. And so I had my five participants starting out do this practice for 20 minutes a day also. So for 4 weeks, they did seated meditation 20 minutes a day, and they did mindful golf practice is what I called it, for 20 minutes a day.
And the mindful golf practice, and I understand the seated meditation, mm-hmm. mindfulness meditation, where you're sitting and you're focusing and you're there for 20 minutes. And I personally, for me, sitting for 20 minutes, focusing on one thing like that, I'd be asleep in four.
Well, that's why I actually had them, when I did the study, I had them start off doing a 10-minute meditation.
Yeah.
Had them do that for 4 days, then 15 minutes and building up, because I totally agree.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I don't know if I've ever in my life been able to sit for 20 minutes, you know, focusing on one thing without falling asleep. But it's just my mind is bouncing all over the place. I can't focus. So I can understand the concept, yeah. not reality.
Well, that's called monkey mind. And
well, thank you.
Yeah. And well, you know,
I mean, okay, we're done with this interview. Forget it.
No, but actually, that's part of the purpose of meditation, because I think if you would practice it on for yourself, just as an experiment, practice for 5 or 10 minutes a day for a couple days. Over the period of a week, notice how the quality of those 5 or 10 minutes changes. And one of the big things I think about doing a seated meditation is to really be gentle with yourself, you know, not to judge yourself for having your mind being going all over the place, because that's the nature of the mind. The mind wants to, you know, glom onto different things and not sit still. But that's why also it's such a great practice for golfers, because by training your mind to sit still or sit stiller, you're going to increase your, you know, potential for performing better, for staying in the moment. I mean, a perfect example of the kind of stillness that we all aspire to and focus and concentration is a guy named Tiger Woods. You know, you ever heard of him?
No, don't know.
Yeah. It's a pretty good golfer.
He's been around the last couple of months because I just started playing golf.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, but he grew up with Buddhist meditation as a practice.
We're not talking religion, though.
Not talking religion
at all. I mean, you've used the word Buddhism twice, and yeah. That's not what we're talking about.
No. And I'm not a Buddhist, you know, and actually I would like to be more disciplined in my own meditation practice, because I know that when I do it more consistently, I play better.
Really?
My performance is better. And I found that the performance of the golfers in my study, they perform better. And that was really cool.
Now we're getting into the meat of this. This is what people want to hear about.
Well,
it's like
it is.
You perform better if you practice meditation while playing golf. Now this is where I wanted to go with this, because so you're talking about a meditation practice while you're playing or while you're practicing golf. This is what
either,
I'm having
either
trouble.
Either or. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so first of all, I wanted my participants to do seated meditation for 20 minutes a day and do a golf meditation for 20. I didn't really care whether they were actually playing in a round and dedicating 20 minutes to trying to play mindfully or not.
They're doing both of these practices in a single day.
Right. So
and do this every day for four weeks.
For 4 weeks.
Sounds like heaven.
Well, does it sound like hell?
No, it sounds great.
Okay.
It sounds great.
Well, I mean, because it does require some discipline.
Yeah.
And another one of the findings that I had, you know, one of my participants said to me, you know, I wish your study was 8 weeks. And I said to him, well, you know, you could keep on meditating for another 4 weeks.
Yeah, right.
But part of what was interesting was because my participants had made a commitment to me, they were able to keep their practice going for that period of time.
Not a commitment to themselves.
Well, I think
that's interesting.
I think it's hard for us to commit to ourselves.
Sure, sure. There's so many other things and people to take care of.
Yeah, but I also think one of the benefits of meditation is you end up with more time because you're focusing better. You get more done. You're more effective. I mean, there's been lots of studies about meditations, you know, that just talk about how it increases focus and how it, you know, people become more effective at work. They think better, think clearer. I don't know why everybody doesn't meditate more.
Yeah.
But
Now, what is the your study group? What were the ages of your study group?
So they were in the range of 45 to 65 or 67.
Because I asked that thinking, because I know that on Golf Smarter podcast, we have an audience that ranges. I get emails from 16-year-olds who listen, which surprises the heck out of me. But yay.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have kids who listen to this too. And I'm curious if you were able to get a kid or a younger person, 20s, mm-hmm. you know, 30s, to get into this kind of practice, what kind of study, you know, results you would find from this as well?
Yeah, I don't know if it would be any different for a kid, but I do know that the research shows that people who have meditated longer, and by longer I mean for 2 years or more, they get bigger results. They can focus longer. There have been functional MRIs of long-term meditators, and their brains are different. The pictures are different of their brains. The areas of the brain that correspond or correlate to better focus and concentration, they have more, you know, gamma wavelengths. And for Buddhist monks who have been meditating for hundreds of thousands of hours of in their life, it is that much more profound. And after meditation, it lasts for those people even longer. Mm. So earlier.
I mean, you hear about swimmers, their heart rate, you know, people who are regular swimmers, their heart rate is generally slower than most of society.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would think that...
Yeah, it's kind of a muscle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of. so is there a placebo effect that you created? Is there also a group that you had... doing...
No, I didn't have a control group.
A control group.
No, I didn't have a control group. You know, I was really just interested in what the experience was like to play golf after having done this for 4 weeks, just to see if the participants reported any differences at all. And I think that, you know, more study in this area is warranted because there were things that were common among participants that came out, such as feeling calmer, such as enjoying playing more. One of my participants noted that before he was really anxious when putting. That was an area where he noticed he would be more tense and anxious, and it influenced his performance. He said that anxiety I can't remember whether he said it went away or not, but it was definitely improved with meditation. And I recently talked to one of my participants who... said that he'd been playing golf, but he played better when he was meditating. So I asked him, you know, so why aren't you, you know, do you want to meditate again or more? And you know, the jury's out on that one, whether or not.
Next question is how many of your participants continued to do the practice and what were the results there?
Yeah. So I didn't do a whole lot of follow up. I followed up with a couple of them after about six or 8 weeks after, and they had, one of them had, neither one of them had really kept the meditation going. And one actually stopped playing golf for a while. Not because of the meditation.
Oh, okay.
Just life stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I was really encouraged by the results, and just in terms of the kind of the constituents that I found in my study, that they did, that it was common. They felt calmer. One of my participants shot his best score of the year. And, you know, I can't necessarily say that there is a causality. There's a correlation, certainly, you know, but I can't say the meditation caused them to play better and feel calmer. But I think, you know, it's certainly the overall feeling was that it was a really positive thing for them.
Wow. Yeah. And did any of them ever use the term in the zone as they were talking about the results while they were meditating or during that period of time while they were meditating and playing golf?
Not those words particularly, but I would call one of my participants' experience a zone experience. And
how so?
He said that he was able to hold, and this was that round where he shot his best round, he was able to hold his intention, meaning his focus, for that which he was focusing on for that round. When I talked about a golf practice is a golf meditation. Could also be an intention, like, for example, of noticing what your grip pressure is and being just really conscious of that and always coming back to that. So he was able to do that for an entire round, and he said, I'd never been able to do that before. The same participant also noticed increased flexibility in his body and in his swing. He just felt looser.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not as if he'd been doing any yoga conjunction with this.
No, no.
Now, it's interesting. I've mentioned before on the program, I'd never mentioned it was you, the day that we played together, on a course that I generally don't play that well. It's a difficult course.
Hard course, yeah.
And the day that we played, and you and I were in a cart together, and I was just hitting the ball well. Everything was kind of working.
Yeah, you played great.
And after we teed off on the 18th, and I had a really good drive on the 18th, as we're driving to the ball, I remember commenting to you, boy, you know I shouldn't say this, but I've been striking the ball really well.
And yeah, you said, I remember that.
In your very calm voice that you have, said, you really have. And I hit the next shot out of bounds, and then I dropped it in and didn't get much. I triple bogeyed the hole, which is the worst hole I had on the day. And because of it, I shot an 82.
Yeah.
On that, I mean, all I had to do was hit par, and I was already on the middle of the fairway here. But it was like I got out of the zone,
Did you also know what your score was there?
I had no idea.
Okay, well that's good because that'll happen oftentimes when people get to plateau levels where I want to break 80 for the first time.
So I just thought it was you.
Well, thank you. I take that as a great compliment. I hope I bring that to my clients.
Well, hopefully you can bring it to all of us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. Now, if you don't mind, let's take a situation, and I don't know if this is possible, but let's take a situation of putting and trying to get into that meditative state on the putting green or the practice putting green. Mm-hmm. What is it that we should be doing? Give us some ideas, some drills, some thoughts on how we can make this work for ourselves.
Well, I want to go back to your triple bogey.
No, please.
No, because, I mean, it's a perfect example of how our mind gets to us.
Yeah.
And I think what meditation does as a practice, and, you know, the mental side of the game of golf or the mental side of sport is a lot about not getting in our own way.
Right.
And
Dr. Joe Parent uses that term a lot.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Zen golf.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to be in that company. But, you know, and so in order to become more mindful or having a stronger mind or being in the better mind state for performance, you know, it takes practice just like the physical game.
Yeah,
and I think meditation can be one of those mental practices. And I think what happened in our round on the 18th hole, I mean, you were striking the ball beautifully the whole day, and you said something that triggered some kind of a feeling in yourself. And I don't know whether it's like, I don't deserve to play this great, or I'm out of my comfort zone playing like this. But it got you away from being in the moment.
Right, and I was just trying not to think about it all day. And that's why I even made the comment of, I know I shouldn't be saying this now. I shouldn't even be thinking this is what I should have said until after we're done. But, wow, today's been really nice. I was very calm the whole day. It was really, I wasn't getting too excited about anything. You know, I was just chugging along, keeping to myself.
Yeah.
But are you avoiding my last request here? Now
that not at all. But you know,
is there anything that we can do, or is this is a practice? This is really a discipline.
Yeah, I mean, there's no silver bullet or a magic pill. Like, take the blue pill.
Come on.
I wish there was, because I'd probably have OD'd on them by now. You know, but I think to practice being mindful is that it's a practice, and the benefits show up on the golf course. And one of the other benefits that my participants noticed, and I think this is really beautiful, is they became less focused on the outcome, which for us means score. And
so important.
And it is so important. And golf is such a game of opposites. And I know I'm definitely not the first person to say that. I mean, you swing harder, the ball goes shorter. You swing flowing easy 80%, the ball goes as far as you can hit it. And you know, one of those opposites is to is to not be so focused on the outcome, and then the outcome will happen. Your better scores happen when you're not trying to shoot a score.
Yeah.
You know, and getting in the zone is about not kind of becoming one with the game, and you're not trying, you're just playing. And so there are drills, and I'd be happy to, you know, send them to anybody who wants to, and they could read some great books, like Extraordinary Golf has some great drills in it,
let me just say that Extraordinary Golf by Fred Shoemaker is on our Smarter Shopping page on our golf website. So if you are interested, and if you've not read Extraordinary Golf or Extraordinary Putting, you can purchase it through Amazon right there on the golfsmarter.com site going through Smarter Shopping.
And I'm sure that I paraphrased or plagiarized some of Fred Shoemaker's drills, you know, because of my exposure to Bill Kondaxis, who's a teacher in his Extraordinary Golf School. So, you know, doing some of those practices can pay dividends, and it's kind of where the mental and physical meet. I mean, golf. People say golf is 90% or 98% mental, and you know, I'm not a believer of that. I think it's 100% physical.
Hmm.
It's our minds that get in the way. So it's how do we train our minds to not have expectations, to stay centered. And I think one of the tools, it's not the only one, but mindfulness meditation practice can be a great tool for doing that.
Well, it's really interesting that there really isn't any specific drill that you can give, but it is a discussion of discipline.
A drill that I could give you, and it comes from Extraordinary Golf, you know, the putting drill where you focus your attention just on a dimple on the golf ball, for example. So you set aside some time to practice putting, and you would notice that a dimple, and don't be so concerned. You've looked and seen the target. I mean, our bodies have such incredible intelligence that once you've seen where that target is, you've taken in a lot more information than you really consciously realize. You've probably taken in how far it is, the terrain change, whether you need to aim a little left or a little right. But focus on that dimple so that you don't get into the judging mind of, you know, the last time you had this putt and missed it. And even after you hit the ball, focus on where that dimple was. And you will see the afterglow of the ball, the after image, because that's an optical effect. But what it also does is it forces you to keep your head still, which is what you want to do when you're putting, right? So there's some physical effects to there. It's getting out of your own way and training yourself to do that and to be patient and to be kinder to yourself. Because, I mean, and I think, I really believe that, you know, and I don't want to just be known as a proponent of meditation and that's it. But I think it's a tool that people can use to really become smarter golfers.
Nice plug. Thank you very much. Ben Klein is the sports psychology consultant for Clarity Performance at clarityperformance.com. Please check out his website and contact him. Contact me at golfsmarter.com. Click on the Hey Fred button and I will get in touch with Ben and put you two together. Not a problem. But Ben, thanks so much for sharing your study with us. I think it's absolutely fascinating, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be intrigued and probably pursue this.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be with you, Fred. Thank you so very much for having me.
And thank you, Ben. And thank you for also mentioning Fred Shoemaker, because he has been interviewed. We have the show in the can, and Fred will be on in a few weeks. We'll be returning to Golf Smarter in a few weeks, so stay tuned for that. Hey, congratulations, Richard Dickens of Goldsboro, North Carolina. Why, you may ask? Well, Richard is the winner of the Perfect Putting Machine, courtesy of Dean Thompson. Again, that's Richard Dickens. Did you hear your name? Listen, hey, Richard, once you receive and work out with your new Perfect Putting Machine and use it for a while, why don't you send me an email with your review so everyone else can see the impact that it's had on your putting, your scoring, and your confidence. Also want to give a shout out to Josh Woodward. Josh posted a great photo of himself standing on the sixth hole of Bethpage Black while wearing his Golf Smarter hat. He posted that photo on the Golf Smarter group at facebook.com. And a lot of other people have been putting photos of golf courses they've been playing, some beautiful photography. Thank you for doing that. And we've also been having ongoing conversations in this group at Facebook.com. Last week's conversation was about the golf presents that you received over the holidays and what kind of things you like to get and don't like to get. And whether you have to buy things for yourself. Maybe you don't even want golf presents. Well, check it all out, the Golf Smarter Group at Facebook.com. It's a lot of fun. We've got a bunch of people there throwing in their two cents and asking questions and getting answers from people other than me, thank goodness. Now, frequently, experts on the Golf Smarter podcast have told us that the off-season is the best time to focus on your goals and lessons while staying away from bad habits perpetuated on the course. Today's quote, provided by Ken Kishihara from Fresno, California, supports the importance of improving your mechanics with a personal instructor. It was Bobby Jones who once said, "The first really practical method of teaching is, of course, personal instruction, where both the teacher and the pupil have a club in hand, and one can illustrate and correct, and the other repeat and swear." Next week, Fit for Golf, Fit for Life with Mindy Boysen. If you have any quotes, comments, suggestions, or questions, you can send me an email by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.